when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all of our precious, precious Blood River Radio family out there. Before we go any further, we'll let you know this is a very solemn day for Blood River Radio. We have a lot of our people, as you well know, that Rand Owen, the Alabama Lone Wolf, he's going to be on with us tonight all through, at least for 2 hours. The third hour is going to be Nancy, Sister Nancy, and Sister Monica. But it's very, very solemn for us because we were all in Charlottesville, August the 12th of 2017. And today is August the 12th. Saturday fell again on August the 12th 6 years ago. So we're doing kind of like our second installment. Last week we kind of preempted it. So our second installment of Charlottesville is going to be, it's a solemn show. We're going to have some great guests coming in. Y'all, so I just like to let you know that this, I'm kind of out of order, but I got out of order on purpose because a lot of our brothers are still in the gulag and they're still being hunted down like rats by the Jewish Zionist Bolshevik communists in this country, and they're not being arrested. They're being caught. They're being captured and put in prison camps, prisoner of war camps. With that being said, people, who are you listening to? You're listening to Blood River Radio. We are the only radio program in the United States that's dedicated ourselves solely to fighting global white genocide. You may think it's, maybe theatrical, but it's not. We've sworn. Like Thomas Jefferson, on the holy altar of God. I've sworn before in God Almighty to never give up this fight, to fight global white genocide. Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bomber Deer Miller. People, like I just said, today is August the 12th of 2023 in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God. No name under the sun can man be saved other than Jesus Christ. And people, you know the drill. We go to a prayer, but before we go to a prayer, our great brother in Christ and fellow Blood River Radioer, he's going to say the prayer. But first, if you will, people, if you will, just take your hat off, take a knee, do whatever you do when you're prayer. We're going to pray a prayer, and we're going to have a minute of silence for our precious brothers and sisters that have been locked up into prison because of they stood up for your rights and my rights at the Battle of Charlottesville 6 years ago today. Rich Hamlin sent me a text a few hours ago, and he said, hey, it was about 10:45. He said, at this time, 6 years ago, we were being driven out of Lee Park, and that's true, people. So listen, I'm going to shut up, if you will, before we go to a prayer. Just, if you will, give us 1 minute of silence. Thank you so much, people, for you people that did give a moment of silence. I hope you did say a prayer for our people that are locked up Some of them have been locked up, get this, people, since 2018. And some of them, like, for instance, Jacob Goodwin, probably will not be getting out for 3 more years for hitting a feral Negro in the nose, for defending himself. And people, that, as you know the drill, we always go to a prayer. So our precious Brother Rand is going to lead us into prayer. So, Brother Rand, if you will, take it away, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother Eddie. You know, it's always an honor to be on your program, and but especially today with this 6th anniversary of the Battle of Charlottesville and all that took place and went on. And before we pray, I'd like to read a few short scriptures from Isaiah chapter 56, beginning with verse 9, and we'll read through verse 11. And it reads, "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter." Let us pray. Let's go to his throne. Let's go to our Father's throne. Father in heaven, we just pray that you would let us be honorable watchmen for you. Father, we come to your throne humbly. We thank you, Father, for all that you provide for us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to have this program this evening. We pray for your guidance through it. We pray that you would use this program for your glory and yours alone. We claim victory over our enemies by putting on the whole armor, Father. We pray that we might stand firm in these days of so many lies and so much wickedness. We thank you, Father, for the breastplate of righteousness and the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we may use the two-edged sword of your living word, that we may expose our enemies. Father, we pray that you'd lead, guide, and direct this evening. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice so that we might have the opportunity to spend eternity with you in your kingdom. And it's in his holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen, Rand. I'd like to also, I'd just like to add a little prayer. I'll pray to God to knock the scales, rhetorically speaking, off the eyes of our people, be they old, be they young, to let them see the true enemy, to give them wisdom and discernment, to know who the enemy is, and to give them some kind of way. I know it's extremely hard for a lot of people, but to have just a mustard seeds amount of courage to help us fight this mortal enemy, this enemy that's out to kill everybody, this white and Christian. And Lord, I'd like to say another prayer for our people that are up in Montgomery Bell right now. I have no clue. I don't think it can be justified in any way for anybody who's supposed to be like me and Rand, that are warriors. And we preach this. We preach the same gospel week in, week out. Yet we have people up there have gone up to do business with this effeminate. I think it shows a streak of effeminism. Hypocrisy. It's counterproductive at best and worse than giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Because I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Jared Taylor is not your friend. The Jared Taylor likes her. I know a lot of people who love him. But listen, anytime, to me, it's a mental illness. It's, you know, the term, it is a type of mental illness, because they say one thing, they'll come on the radio and like us, they'll name the enemy. And they'll say, yes, the enemy is the Zionist Jew. Over and over, we have said that. We don't have anybody on our program that doesn't agree with that. Yeah, I know people that are up there right now getting their matzo ball soup, going to their bar mitzvah. They're probably having a circumcision or two up there with the rabbis. I mean, it's that bad. That's how I can't tell you how I'm disgusted. And don't sit there and tell me when you come back, well, I've heard people say, I don't look for things to take to be divisive with other people about. I look for things to work with. You can't work with the devil, people. You have a people like Jared Taylor in the American Renaissance. Anytime you have anybody who's going to cooperate with Zionist Jews, these Jews are not Christian people. If you're going to work with somebody that's not a Christian, work with somebody who's a Hindu, or work with somebody who's a Muslim, because they don't hate Christ like Jews hate Christ. So if you're up there, I beg you to come to your senses, because don't come back to Memphis or wherever you've been from and tell me that you're a one of us when you can go up there and you can sniff around like a pack of dogs with these Jared Taylorites. You go up there for the money, because a hell of a lot of money up there, and you go up there for your so-called fame, your fortune. I could have gone up there. I thought about it one time, paying Keith Alexander's way, because he wanted to go up there so damn bad. But why in the hell would you want to go up there? Because I consider you giving aid and comfort to the enemy at best. And then I'll shut up. Now we're getting ready to bring on our first two guests, Michael Tubbs and Mary Burrow. Be right back, folks.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries, and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. We have two fantastic guests coming on right now, and both of these people we're bringing in, they were at the Battle of Charlottesville. We're going to let them come on. We're going to ask them questions like, well, right off the bat, we'll ask this question. They're going to be on for 45 minutes. And what did they do in Charlottesville to describe what it was like there, how they got there, anything comes to their mind. And I wished, if they could, to relate current events, for instance, what's going on with the endless arrest of our Jew President Trump. I make no mistake. I have no use for Trump. He's just another crypto Jew. Matter of fact, he was crowned king of Israel not long ago. And I mean, I don't know how you get more Jew than that. But we want them to relate current events at the end, whenever they're ready, to they can be linked back to Charlottesville. For instance, the January 6th persecution, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, we've got these two great, fabulous guests to come on. One of them is Michael Tubbs, former Special Forces Green Beret, every school you can think of when it comes to combat and killing. And that's what we do in war, folks. And we also have Mary Barlow, who was a hero up there that day. So without further ado, that's what we're going to do. And Rand's going to be riding shotgun because my voice is kind of worn down for some strange reasons. But we're turning the ball over right now. The gun. We're handing the M79 machine gun to Michael Tubbs, the warrior, and he's going to bring in. He is going to work with Mary Barlow. Go. How you doing tonight, brother Michael?
Sir, I am excellent. But more importantly, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm coming along pretty good. I did the first run today. I've done in 3 weeks. I had a cardiac episode 3 weeks ago. I had a bad run of what they call supraventricular tachycardia. That's happened to me several times, but thank you so much for asking. I did a little 11 miles today. It was slow, but I got through. So now that kind of that gave me really lifted up my spirits because I'm still training. I'm trying to run, God willing, not bragging, but it's a blessing. God has really done a job on me. I'm supposed to run the New York Marathon. November, the TCS New York Marathon. That's one of the big five in the world, big six. I'm supposed to run it on November 5th. I still haven't given it up. So I think I'll be able to do it. But thank you for asking. And today me and Rand gave a pretty solemn thing, but today is such a holy day, Charlottesville. So you go ahead, Michael. Just you're smarter than I am. Anything come to your mind? Anything you think about Charlottesville, and when you can bring Mary in whenever you get ready.
Well, thank you, sir. It's an honor to be on your program. I must say that's an admirable display of discipline and motivation on your part to continue to train for such an incredible run, even after you've been diagnosed with that heart problem. But, yes, today is a great day of honor. As you said, it's a solemn day, a memorable day. There's so many thoughts, so many emotions that stick with all of us from that day. You know, we were betrayed, but our people behaved gloriously in the face of the enemy, and it was a great day to be actually be able to confront the enemies of Christianity and our Southland on the streets of our own country. You know, we're busy sending troops around the globe to go fight supposed enemies everywhere except right here. And this is the only place that the battles need to be fought, right here on our own soil. The worst enemies of our people and our faith are right here amongst us. They're the tares amongst the wheat. And I pray for the day that the prophecy of Obadiah 18 will be completed, when the sons of Esau shall be as stubble, and the sons of Jacob shall be as a flame, and we will completely eradicate the Edomites once and for all. It kind of started there in Charlottesville. I do believe we put the big scare on them. You could easily tell that from the courtroom that we were all placed in. And if there's any doubt that the sons of Edom do not control the legal system, Hollywood, the media, and et cetera, that courtroom was a perfect example. You couldn't sling a stale bagel in that courtroom without hitting a Jew from the chief plaintiff right up to all the attorneys. You know, it was Jews from one end to the other. It's like, oy vey, where'd all these Jews come from?
But, you made my great point. I got to dig. See, that's why I keep pointing to our people to go like to Montgomery Bell. It's not the feral animal Negroes the problem. We can deal with them if you take the Jew out of a situation that has all the money. They control the military. They control everything. You just perfectly made my point when I preach day in, day out. And I'm shutting the hell up. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I really don't know where to go. It's your show, and I was hoping that you could prompt me in the direction that you wanted me to go. I mean, there's so much to talk about from that day. I mean, I could go on and on, you know, discussing what happened that day and, you know, what we saw, or what we experienced, the emotions and all. But, you know, we rehashed some of that before on your show. But, you know, I pray for the political prisoners that are still languishing in the belly of the beast to this day, you know, 6 years later, you know, for standing up for our people, our land, the monuments of our fathers. They're sitting there paying the ultimate price while the rest of us are still free. I mean, some of us still have something hanging over our heads, you know. Myself and Dr. Hill from the League of the South, you know, we still have those Jew lawyers trying to chase us down and, you know, extract some shekels from us. But I'm not really planning on giving up any shekels to them.
Amen.
That all remains to be seen how it pans out, though.
Well, you know, Rich Hamblin, one of our brothers. As a matter of fact, I've told this story 100 times, but I can't tell it too many times. I wrote up there. Rich Hamblin is the one that had got me into the League of the South, which is the best thing I've ever done. He got me in the league. We were down at Wetumpka, Alabama, back in June of 2017, right before we went to Charlottesville, and he got me in the league. And I rode to Charlottesville. I drove to Cookeville, Tennessee. I rode in Rich Hamblin, Matt Goodwin, Gene Andrews, and Simon Roach. They picked me up in Cookeville, and we rode to Charlottesville together. And we bonded. It was like we were welded together, brothers. They were great people anyway. But you know, Mike, I'll just like to say this before, and I've said on this program, but we have a lot of new listeners. We're growing. We really are. We're growing pretty fast. Matter of fact, I've got to try to get the newsletter going. I promise. We've been getting a lot of people signing up for our newsletter. I'll talk more about that newsletter later. We used to have one, but what a shocker, it got deplatformed. But, you know, I'd like to point this out. Michael Tubbs, the fellow who's on right now on Blood River, God bless him, and I'm so fortunate to have him. He was a stalwart at Charlottesville. He saved a lot of people, including me. And I'll tell this story again. I was up there trying to get some photographs of those feral animals and those communists and those Jews. I was sending the photographs back to James Edwards. James and Keith were back at the War Room in Memphis. I was a co-host with the Political Cesspool then. And I had my sissy ass little, I still have my press credentials. I'm proud of that. But all of a sudden, this big, huge board that the guys, our young guys, were trying to keep the communists out of, they saved our ass. They kept the communists and the feral animals from coming into Lee Park. And Mike was right there at the head. He was up there with them. Well, that board some kind of way fell down all the way down my shins. I had some shorts on. I had track shoes. I figured we might have to run that day. And it fell on the bridge of my feet. And all these young guys were jumping up and down on it. They're fighting the communists. And I was screaming, my feet, you're on my feet. Of course, they couldn't hear me. And even if they could, they couldn't do anything about it. They were fighting for their lives. Well, Michael Tubbs bent down. And Michael Tubbs is a giant of a guy. And I bent down. And with the adrenaline had to be popped out of my skull. But Mike, with his help, lifted that board just enough for me to jerk my feet out from under that board. You're talking about hurting like hell. But I've been in Michael Tubbs's debt ever since that. And not only that, he let us into that hellhole, and he let us out. I'm going to tell you what, most of those feral Negroes and those Jews got the hell out of his way. Thank God. But folks, we have our first break. We'll be leaving this. We'll be coming back right after this minute. I got to shut the hell up. Be right back, folks.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The federal government is assisting as wildfires continue to ravage the island of Maui.
FEMA is working right now with the state of Hawaii, focused primarily on our search and rescue operations and life safety mission of ensuring that everyone has a shelter to live in, has water that they need, and can breathe clean air.
That is FEMA Operations Director Jeremy Greenberg. The Coast Guard says it took part in search and rescue efforts for those fleeing the deadly Lahaina wildfire by running into the ocean. Authorities say over 100 people dashed into the water to escape the wind-whipped flames that killed dozens this week. An investigation is underway after a 3-year-old girl from Venezuela died in Illinois after being sent from Texas on a bus full of migrants. Michael Kastner has more.
Texas officials say after the child started showing health concerns Thursday evening, the bus pulled over and security personnel called 911. The child later died at a local Illinois hospital. Illinois authorities are investigating her death. Texas officials say none of the passengers showed signs of illness when they boarded the bus near the Mexican border in Brownsville. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has bused thousands of migrants to Illinois.
Big decisions being made yesterday on former President Donald Trump's 2020 election interference case.
The federal judge overseeing Donald Trump's 2020 election interference case is issuing a protective order over the handling of evidence. Former Washington, D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine says U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan is being very fair to both sides.
Well, I think she's been dealing with this entire case in an exceptional, well-reasoned, balanced manner. She did not give the government all that it wanted, yet she's going to make sure that witness intimidation, obstruction of justice, or any interference with the administration of justice is not going to occur on her watch.
I'm Corey Myers.
This is USA News.
Thinking of sharing a hotel room with your dog this summer? Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Teller, president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, with some tips. Before you book your stay, check if your dog is allowed and get an understanding about any other restrictions they may have on pets. Think about your dog's personality and health before bringing them. Sometimes boarding might be less stressful for Fido than a road trip and hotel stay. Make sure your dog is healthy and up to date on vaccinations. Pack a travel kit for your pooch with food, water, medications, leash, and more. Try to keep to your normal routine as much as possible when it comes to things like meals and walks. Consistency goes a long way. And keep pet etiquette in mind. Keep your dog on a leash in public places and don't leave them alone in the room for a long stretch. If left alone, puzzle feeders or long-lasting treats can help. There's more valuable pet information at avma.org.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
God bless you, dear Blood River Radio family. Listen, I just got a text also from my brother, Rich Hamlin. He told me to look at my telegram. I don't think I have it. As soon as I get a chance, I would like to look at that. And he says, I'm going to read this because Mike needs to hear this. He said, I sent a photograph of the withdrawal. Tubbs is in front. Matt and I are behind. You can see our flags. I told them, I wish instead of fought, there used to be a guy named R.G. Miller. I don't know if Mike remembers him or not. He was the chairman of the Arkansas League. Well, when everything got really went wild, I said, where are we going? Which way are you going? What are you going to do? He said, well, we're going down to this place called McIntyre Park. Duke and some other people are supposed to be there, and they're going, some of the speakers are going to try to reorganize and be able to give their speakers. So I followed R.G. down there. As soon as we got there, it was about 2-3 miles away, hot sun. Here comes the National Guard and the state police riding these deuce and a halves and with their megaphones saying, we need to get the hell out of there. National emergency, get the hell out in X minutes or we were arrested. But anyway, I just wanted to give that comment to our audience, our listeners, about what you did, Mike. You're a true hero, brother. You surely are. And Mike, just in case y'all forgot, we had about a 4-part series on survival, self-defense, what to do when when everything breaks down. I'll try to find out the dates we did those, and I'll tell y'all which archives to go to. But people, so much for that. We're still at Charlottesville. Mike, you know, what did you – I guess Mary, if you have any questions, please jump in. I'd love to get you in. By the way, let me bring you in now. We have Mary, since you were there in Charlottesville, give us your name and tell the audience your name, a brief snapshot of what you did in Charlottesville before we go back to Mike.
All right. Well, I am a Florida League of the South member, and I had driven several members, or just people, several individuals up there, men up there. And my job was to kind of hang around the perimeter in this vehicle in case some of our leadership or, you know, something happened. It would be a quick place for, I would be near enough, but far enough away for our people to, you know, to get into the vehicle and head back to where, you know, we needed to be. And I had set up at a park that was far enough away from the chaos, but close enough. And the first run-in that I really had was I was sitting there, and as a mom, I had, you know, a couple of my younger children with me, and we were in the vehicle, again, far enough away. And I'd chosen this park because there was a restroom there in case my little ones needed to use the restroom. And this herd turns the corner in front of me. And again, I'm in an unmarked vehicle, a rented vehicle. I'm in normal mom clothes with the hair, you know, pulled up like a mom bun. My kids are in normal clothes. There's nothing to identify me as anything but a woman at a park with her children. And as this mob passes by me, they start attacking the vehicle in the back. They wait until they got to the back end of me and started hitting the vehicle with one really, really big black man that spit on my window as he passed by. He took his bat and he hit the back of the van. He hit the tires. He hit the back of the, you know, tail end of the vehicle. And I took off. Thank goodness there was nobody in front. They had kind of all passed, but I took off and rode around the area. And as everyone was dispersed from the park, I became the person that kind of went around and picked up people that were leaving the park that needed a ride, that scrambled. We had another, an officer of the league that was with me. We stayed out till pretty late. It was dark. It was dark by the time we headed back to camp. After we figured that we had found everyone that we could possibly find, when we headed to McIntyre Park, we picked someone up that was on top of the hill up there that was just bloodied. I mean, it was such a crazy event, something I'd never seen before, ever. And it was quite eye-opening, if you would, just to know, you know, I have a bunch of boys that are going to come up into this. And as a mom, I know it's going to be hard for them, as these warriors, they're coming up as Southern warriors. I know exactly what I need to instill in them. That was really eye-opening. If there's anything any of us mothers took from that, it's how hard we need to make our boys, because that was shocking. Me and the other officer, we probably had hundreds of people in and out of the vehicle from all different groups. It wasn't just our league brothers and sisters we were picking up, but it was, I mean, just so many different groups that we were picking up and taking them to safety, or taking them where they needed to be to meet, you know, the other groups of their people. It was a very crazy event. And then the lies that just ensued afterwards, that ride back from Charlottesville was, and, you know, we listened to the news. It was absolutely disgusting. Disgusting. It was horrible. All the lies that were being told.
Absolutely. I tell you what, not many people would go up there and do what you did, Mary, and precious, even fewer women would do that. I really take my hat off and salute you. You probably were driving the van. You've passed me by once. When I came back from McIntyre Park, I got separated from RG and them because I here I am. I'm probably older than the old lady I was leading. She was having a real hard time getting back to the parking garage. And I looked up, she had this Confederate battle flag hat on. And we were having to go through all these Antifa. I said, man, for God's sakes, get that hat off, stick it in your shirt or something. Because, you know, we were out here by ourselves. RG and them got away from us. So I was able to hand her off to some people that lived up there. Then I was able to hit maximum overdrive, you know, for my marathon training. And I went to the wrong damn parking garage. And I was definitely in the wrong place. So I got out of there. I finally wound up back. But I got that photograph before I go back to Mike that Rich sent me, and he's right. Michael Tubbs looks like a T-Rex going through these people and amongst a bunch of sand lizards, man. And the kid, there's a kid with a shield. If I'm looking at Michael Tubbs to the left, and he's got a little club in his hand, I think that's the kid. Different buildings at the compound. I think he was in the last place I stayed. Anyway, Mike, you know, Michael Tubbs, I like to call you Mr. Michael because I really respect you. You know, what we saw, I'll lay this on the table and get you to finish it up. I'll set the table, you finish it up. I've told people that August the 11th was, in my opinion, in terms of politicals, sociological, societal, mores, was as different from August the 18th as 2016 was, 2017 was from the 1930s. I mean, everything changed overnight. Michael, the glove came off, the mask came off the face, I think, to paraphrase Dr. Hill. There was no more holding back, no more hiding what the Jews had in store for us. I think, Mike, do you think it's gotten worse since Charlottesville? Do you think that was a benchmark, a watershed mark, an indicator of what was to come? Take us in that direction, Mike, if you don't will. And any similarities, anything going on right now that you see that could be really directly or indirectly related to what happened in Charlottesville? Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I think we can all agree that the Battle of Charlottesville was a watershed event for the right wing in America. You know, a lot of the sheep didn't even wake up until January 6th. They experienced the same thing January 6th that we did on August 12th of 2017. And many of them have not yet even made the connection that we suffer the same enemy propaganda against us that they did on January 6th. And it's unfortunate because we would have a lot more allies, but the enemy did such an excellent job of propaganda on the Battle of Charlottesville that I don't think that our people ever received the credit that was due to them for battling the enemies of our land, you know, much like the demonstrators on January 6th did. But, yeah, it's one continuous battle. It's been going on since the Garden of Eden.
Mike, we have to go to another break. I can't believe we've got to go. We have to go to a quick break, Mike. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Be right back. Hold that thought. Mike, don't lose that thought.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power, naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. This hour is going too fast. I hope that Brother Mike and Sister Mary like our commercials. I handpicked those. My favorite one is that gorilla. And I'll say this, I'm saying it because Michael hadn't heard me say it before. That gorilla was from, he was the general from Planet of the Apes. He had more brains than anybody I know, especially the ones up there at Montgomery Bell. He says that the only thing that matters, he said, every, and Michael Tubbs knows this if anybody knows. In the end, the only damn thing that matters is force, raw, merciless power and force. Your stinking Constitution, your Baptist church, nothing matters but raw, merciless force. And so I'm going to go back with that. I hope Mike liked our commercials. I still like them. But anyway, back to you, Mike. Go ahead to take up what we were talking about during the break, if you don't mind, brother.
Well, sir, during the break, you were saying, and I agree with you, that the people who were involved with the January 6th demonstration and all of their sympathizers fail to realize that they are the enemies of the beast system for the same reason that we were demonized in Charlottesville. It's because they're white. And that's the bottom line. You know, white America is under attack. We're being replaced. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And they want us extinct. And first of all, they got to remove political power from our possession. And I know that Donald Trump is not our friend, but he has done the best job of convincing white America that he's on their side. So, you know, they fell for that bone that they were thrown, and they're paying for it right now. Donald Trump betrayed them, as we knew he would, and now they got their people rotting in jail, and probably many more will follow. And they should have made the connection between Charlottesville and January 6th, and they wouldn't be so surprised today.
You know, I probably shouldn't do this. Maybe it's evil of me, but there was this one gentleman, if you want to say that, named Stuart Rhodes. He was he's one of these people, kind of like a conservative, a self-hating white. You know, and Lee Cochran, now deceased Lee Cochran, he was a brother of ours. He was one of our co-hosts. He died, bless his heart. But Lee Cochran and I were two of the first members in the Shelby County League of the South years ago. But, I mean, it got infiltrated overnight. There's nothing we could do. It was just got, you can see, so we got the hell out while the getting was good, thank God. But this guy, Stuart Rhodes, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I know Dr. Hill was down in New Orleans. I know Rand was. Some of our other brothers, probably Michael Tubbs, was there. And they were down there trying to, our brothers trying to save. Well, they were doing the same reason we, for the same reason we were in Charlottesville. They're trying to save some of our Southern culture, to try to keep the graves our founding fathers from being defecated on by a bunch of communist scum. And they were fighting, Dr. Hill tells me, in front of the League, our League of the South brothers. They had probably a number equal to the number of legal League of the South people, but in their back, behind them, was the Oathkeepers. And they took fight with the damn communist. So, and I've said this before, I hope Stuart Rhodes can listen to this. Stuart Rhodes, we could have told you, son. We could have told you before. So much now for y'all, you're bootlicking on your black brethren that you talked about. You brag about having black brethren in the League of the in Oathkeepers. Now you're doing life in prison. Why don't you write some of your Jew friends and some of your black friends, say, hey, man, where's the bail money? Anyway, Mary, I'm gonna, if you will, go ahead and take up from there, and you can make some comments yourself. Or you, I'm sure you have questions you want to ask Michael.
Well, we ran into Oathkeepers in some other protests that we have done, specifically here in Florida, and it shocked us. It shocked me to see so many of our white brethren stand up against the League of the South for several of our ideals, and one of them being that, you know, it's us against them, if you would. And when we ended up in Charlottesville and saw some of these same Oath Keepers that had the audacity to wipe their behinds on me in Gainesville when we were standing up for a monument down here. When we saw them up there, it was no shock, if you would, that that they were there standing, not really between us, but with them, allowing them to do as they were doing, but incredibly negative towards us. And even afterwards, after the whole incident, after the whole protest at Charlottesville, you know, you watch some of their social media accounts. And even though they were right there in the mix of it, many of them just shunned so many of the protesters that were out there standing up rightfully for our people and for our history and for our monuments. It was unbelievable. And now they see that it really didn't matter. It really didn't matter that they didn't want to be seen as racist, or, you know, in any negative form. It really doesn't matter at the end of the day, because we are our people and they are their people, and they're going to fight for their people before they fight for us, as we should ourselves.
Well spoken.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mary.
No. And that's kind of what I, you know, when we stand up and we talk to people about the league and about just the whole, our whole movement, if you would, you know, I had a lady here locally, actually. She was an old probation officer, and she got attacked in the newspaper, and she actually worked at the probation office here. And so I called Miss Miriam and I spoke to her. It's when I first started out in this, you know, in this whole movement. And I had called and spoke to her because I didn't quite understand why she was being so violently attacked. I mean, called all sorts of names by this black woman locally, this black politician. And she is the one that kind of started me down this path of understanding that no matter if you consider them friends or acquaintances, whenever, excuse my language, but whenever shit hits the fan, they will not be on your side. They will be on their people's side.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's one of the things that you really have to think about, especially as being a mom, is instilling that in your kids. You know, no matter what you think, you play at the playground with these kids, those aren't going to be your people. And that's something that our people need to understand, period. And maybe they are somewhat now. I mean, I see it, you know, in certain media, you know, coming through to me, that I see, you know, people are kind of waking up, but they're still afraid. They're so afraid. Our people are so afraid to be labeled something. And it's disappointing. It really is. This January 6th riot, and I say that in quotes because it really wasn't, but this January 6th episode should have woken more people up. It really should have.
Mike, would you like to take off on that? And what you may have already, I think you've already addressed a little bit, the similarities between January 6th. And I think now it's over 2,000 people they have arrested at January 6th. Mike, do you think if Charlottesville had not happened, would the ZOG, would they feel as comfortable with going and getting that many people at the January 6th thing? Or do you think they would, you think Charlottesville was a testing ground?
I don't think ZOG planned it that way. I think regardless of Charlottesville had happened or not, there would be the same results for January 6th. The beast never sleeps. It's constantly looking to devour its prey. And wherever our people will take a stand, the beast is going to be there to devour them. So I think whether Charlottesville happened or not, January 6th was destined to happen. The sad part is, as we've already said, is that the people who participated in the January 6th demonstration did not take the lesson from Charlottesville. They had no idea what they were getting ready to walk into. And, that's sad. But I want to touch on something that Mary brought up, and that's these Oath Keeper fools. First of all, they're founded on the premise of maintaining their oath to the U.S. Constitution, which in my view is a absolutely worthless document. It was illegally usurped the Articles of Confederation by a band of conspirators, and it was never destined to provide us with freedom. In the words of Patrick Henry, he described the Constitution as the most fatal plan that could possibly enslave the free people that could ever be conceived. And here we are living with it today. People, the victims of Charlottesville on January 6th know full well the Constitution is not their friend. And all these people in the Oath Keepers, they're not active duty U.S. military, police, firefighters. It's all the washed up, former members who are still thinking that, the Constitution is the greatest gift from God, and I'm going to maintain my oath to it. Nobody in their right mind is active duty military or police or the member. I never saw any, because they knew right away that was the worst thing they could do for their career was to take a stand about upholding their oath to the Constitution. And I met one police officer at a event that was standing there at an Oath Keeper table, and he was quickly no longer an Oath Keeper after that, after his public display of alliance with Oath Keepers. And it's not just the Oath Keeper that we ran into. It's all these militia groups, a group called the Highwaymen. We ran into these Highwaymen in Charlottesville, and they were standing there, like Mary was talking about, basically guarding Antifa against us, thing the militia was doing. We had people that were injured by Antifa trying to get behind some of the militia guys. They wouldn't let our people through because we were evil racists, but they were treating the wounds of Antifa people. And these highwaymen, after Charlottesville, that night, they were all gathered in their hotel room and made a scouting video of Dr. Hill and the League of the South about what a bunch of racists we were, even after they saw the communists in the street and how they behaved against us. I got no use for Oath Keepers, these militia turds, and these highwaymen people. They're just absolutely useless. They're stuck on the Constitution and saving America, and there ain't no saving America. So,
amen to that.
Damn them, Mike, all.
We run completely out of time, but before we do completely run out of time, I'd like to say that all these people, Stuart Rhodes and all the rest of these Oath Keepers that I've seen, they talk about being badass paratroopers, Stuart Rhodes, and we're constitutionalists. Not one of them could carry the Michael Tubbs' dirty underwear. Michael Tubbs is the real deal. He was a Green Beret, ass kicker, and they're not to scabble his ass. And that's all. Thank you so much, Mary. Thank you so much, Mike. We've got to transition to the second hour now. God bless y'all. Please stay in contact with me. Be right back, folks. Transition to the second hour.